Why does Islam allow men multiple wives, but allow a woman only one husband? Is there stoning in Islam? It is never mentioned in the Quran. In today's Tafsir, we answer these controversial questions and much more. Sit back and listen. If you like content that helps you understand the Quran, click the subscribe button and notification bell icon. Session 555, Chapter 4, Verse 15, a continuation. If any of your women commit a lewd act, call four witnesses from among you. Then, if they testify to their guilt, confine those women to their houses until death takes them away or God opens some way for them. Chapter 4, verse 15. In my travels, some people asked, why does Islam allow men multiple wives but allow a woman only one husband? This question is meant to provoke discontent among women against Islam. I counter by asking, do you have places for promiscuous youth to rest? To which they answered, yes, some states do. I asked, what do you do about disease? They replied, we enforce periodic medical checks to prevent the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. I asked them, do such checks occur for every married couple? They said no. Why? I asked, and often I received no answer. I explained that a woman in a monogamous marriage presents fewer health risks as she shares intimacy with one man, contrasting with scenarios where one woman is involved with multiple male partners, which increases the spread of disease and the emergence of new diseases. That is biology. There is also psychology and sociology. Think about the most liberal laissez-faire cities on earth. Think Vegas, Bangkok, or Amsterdam. How many prostitution houses do they have? Probably in the tens, they answered. How many male gigolo houses? Probably none. Why, I ask? Because the man's needs and wants are very different than the woman's. This is recognized even in places where there is almost complete absence of religion. This brings us back to the essential matter of proper sexual relations to preserve pure lineage. God says, if any of your women commit a lewd act, call four witnesses from among you. Then, if they testify to their guilt, confine those women to their houses until death takes them away or God opens some way for them. Chapter 4, verse 15. Keep in mind that your women refers only to Muslim women. Islam does not set rules for non-Muslims. They are free to act and destroy their societies as they wish. Witnesses must also be Muslims because they know the importance of reputation and honor. If the lewd act is proven, Allah's ruling is house arrest until death, akin to modern quarantine for contagious diseases. There is little difference between people with a contagious biological disease and those with immoral behavioral sickness. We isolate the patient with infectious diseases to protect others. How can we not isolate the person embroiled in disgrace and scandal? Thus, Allah commands, confine those women to their houses until death takes them away or God opens some way for them, hinting that there is a ruling in God's knowledge yet to come that will amend the law in this ayah. God opened a way and provided further guidance. Listen to the following hadith. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, take from me, a virgin with a virgin is 100 lashes and exile for a year. As for a married woman with another, it is 100 lashes followed by stoning. Some people argue that stoning is not mentioned in the Quran. We answer, who said that Islamic legislation comes only from the Quran? The Quran was revealed as a miracle and foundation of faith. In it, Allah states, whatever the messenger gives you, you should accept, and whatever he forbids you, you should forego. From chapter 59, verse 7. Here, we must be aware of how to interpret our faith properly. Scholars might differ in their understanding and interpretation when there is a ruling in the Quran, which is the first source of legislation. Where there is uncertainty, we should always look to the second source of legislation, our beloved Muhammad. Here, the main focus is the practical application of the prophet's sunnah. In other words, we look at how the prophet, peace be upon him, demonstrated the ruling, not verbally, but practically, because actions are stronger than text. A text may exist in the Quran without being applied for reasons such as nullification in another ayah, but actions are direct implementations. The prophet stoned Ma'iz and the Hamidiya, and stoned a Jewish man and woman when the rabbis of Medina came asking for an amendment to the same ruling in the Torah. Thus, the prophet's actions are a more substantial precedent than the text, especially since he, peace be upon him, is a legislator and not just an interpreter. Someone once asked, if stoning is for the married, what do we do if a married man commits adultery with a single woman? We answer that the ruling for each person stands. The man is stoned and the woman receives lashes. If both have the same status, they receive the same punishment. In Ayah 25 of Surah An-Nisa, the Quran discusses the punishment for a married slave woman. If they commit adultery when they are married, their punishment will be half that of free women. Why? The slave girl receives half the punishment of a free woman because, unlike free women, slaves lack protection and honor. Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, exclaimed in her pre-Islamic fervor, "Would a free woman commit adultery?" indicating that it wasn't characteristic of free women, whereas the slave girl is viewed without honor as she is not a protected member of anyone's family. Hence, men dare to approach her with little recourse. A free married woman who commits adultery receives 100 lashes followed by stoning. Since stoning results in death, some people used this as evidence that there is no stoning in Islam, quoting the ayah, "Their punishment will be half that of free women." Since stoning, which results in loss of life, cannot be halved, it must not exist in Islam. We answered that you misunderstood the text. Listen to the following verse where our beloved Solomon speaks concerning the absence of the chuppah, highlighting a clear distinction between punishment and death. "I will punish him severely or kill him unless he brings me a convincing excuse for his absence." Chapter 27, verse 21. The ayah demonstrates that punishment differs from killing, and by extension, the punishment of lashing differs from death by stoning. For those who argue and stir up controversy by claiming there is no stoning, pointing out that a slave girl is liable to half the punishment of free women and that stoning can't be halved, we answer, "Your argument is flawed. The phrase, 'their punishment will be half that of free women,' refers only to what causes physical pain, not death. The slave receives 50 lashes compared to the 100 received by the free woman, and no stoning." Did you learn something new today? If so, make sure to subscribe so you do not miss next week's Tafsir, where we discuss why unmarried men and women receive a far lesser punishment for adultery than married couples.
واللاتي يأتين الفاحشة من نسائكم فاستشهدوا عليهن أربعة منكم فإن شهدوا فأمسكوهن في البيوت حتى يتوفاهن الموت أو يجعل الله لهن سبيلا.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Convey my teachings to the people, even if it is only a single verse." Please take a moment to subscribe and to share with your family and friends. Visit us at www.qurangarden.com.